You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I have a very special guest, one comedian and just all around social spy. Reza Asghari. Thank you for joining, Reza.
Always a pleasure to be here. I love chatting with you and doing the podcast. Short Box is definitely the way to go when you want to talk comics.
Yes, The Real Short Box, not short boxed, by the way, because...
Sorry.
No, you're not sorry. Don't be sorry. You didn't say short boxed. I'm just making sure that people know that we are not short boxed. We are The Real Short Box. That means we are approved by all the other short boxes in every comic book store. If you go into the shop and you walk up to a short box and you go, excuse me. And the short box
is like, the real one.
Yeah. And you go, which podcast do you like? And the short box will go,
The Real Short Box.
Like that. Just like that. It's true.
And then you'll look at it lovingly and be like, oh, short box, I'm about to stuff you full. I'm going to stuff you so full of stuff.
I'm going to fill you with knowledge, bitch. Oh, geez.
That's the slogan for the show. The Real Short Box. We're going to stuff you full of knowledge.
Yep. That's exactly it. And speaking of stuffing, let's talk about celebrities. We're going to talk about celebrities in comic books, like celebrities that have worked on comic books. And you and I were just talking about, it's kind of got us into this idea, is that you and I were just talking about the Mark Hamill Jack in the Box comic. And
yes.
Explain that really quickly to the audience so they know.
It's just, it's an amazing little thing where, I don't know if a lot of people have seen it, but Jack in the Box has these new commercials now where Jack, the character, goes and finds Mark Hamill to bring him back because apparently in his younger years, Mark Hamill was the perfect Jack in the Box employee. And in the middle of a movie, he rips his clothes off, still has the uniform on, and says, let's go back to work. So they decided to make a comic book about that story and how it all came to be.
Makes sense. Yeah. So basically, yeah, you could go online. If you were one of the lucky five people, you could get the comic book for free. And the problem was, is what you were telling me, is it was unlimited. So you could order as many copies of the book as you wanted.
Yeah, it was completely free and free shipping, and they did not put a cap on it whatsoever. So if you got on there at the right time, you could literally just order like 200 copies.
Wow. And I'm sure some asshole did. And congratulations to you, asshole. And I say that only because you got to it before me. So that's just the way it is.
Also, it ruins the fun of it, because for people like us who like to collect those kinds of oddities and things, it's like, that's an oddity of comic books, which is something I love and fills a lot of my collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely understand. I have seen parts of your collection, so I do understand what you mean with that. You do like some weird things.
At this point, I have too many like food crossovers with the Green Lantern, Kentucky Fried Chicken, with the Nestle Quick and Spider-Man, now this one.
I don't think there's enough of those, so I think they could keep going. I know the Burger King has to team up with somebody.
They should bring back more of those.
Yeah,
like the Gordon's Fisherman gets down with Aquaman.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that'd be great. And then, like,
right?
Aquaman has to teach Gordon's Fisherman about, like, equality in the sea, and that, well, if you catch this many snapper, you have to catch this many halibut, and, you know, and... some of them have families.
He shows them to be more caring by like tapping into his senses, and he lets them hear the fish talk and talk about how they killed his Uncle Hank and all that.
Boy, this just got dark. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. People might be into that. Maybe they won't be. You know, I certainly would be. So that's all that matters.
That version would be like Aquaman directed by Martin Scorsese, presented by Gordon's Fisherman.
Right. If Martin ever took the time to believe in comic books, which it doesn't sound like he does. So,
oh, no,
that's
not
fine.
One bit.
Whatever, Marty, whatever. But I digress. So we were talking about a little bit about that. And the first thing that came to mind after we talked about this Jack in the Box was comic book, like celebrities that have done comic books or been in comic books. And one of them, like the first one that came to mind in my head was Keanu Reeves. And that's just because it's ongoing right now. It's issue number 9 had just come out. I think issue number 10 is the next one. And it's called basically Berserker, kind of. It's B-R-Z-R-K-R. Berserker, you know?
It's called Berserker, but it's spelled Berserker if no one taught you vowels as a child.
That's 100% correct, sir. Yes. 120% correct.
One of the ones that always kind of struck me as odd was CM Punk. I don't know if you knew that CM Punk actually wrote quite a few comics.
No, I did. I take that back. I did, but I don't remember any of the names or anything about them, period. But I know
that's the problem. It was just regular ongoing stories. I don't know if it was for DC or Marvel. I think it was for Marvel, but
I want to say Marvel, and I want to say it was like a Spider-Man or something like that, or
something like that. Yeah, he just kind of jumped in the middle of like a couple of different series, wrote a few issues.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't remember the name or the title.
Yeah, that's how well he did, though. It's like, it was just, like, kind of forgettable, I think.
You know what? I just looked it up. He did do a Drax. I remember now. Okay. He did a Drax, a Destroyer. Yes. And then he did a Master of Kung Fu also. He did an issue or two for that. He definitely did some Marvel stuff, yeah.
He was a big comic book guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing for Nicolas Cage at first. You had no idea. And then you found out that, like, the man owned Action Comics number one, basically. So, you know, he definitely is a big fan of comic books.
That was mind blowing. If people get a chance to definitely look up that story of how he lost his Action number one and then got it back. It's an incredible story.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like this. And it happened recently, like within the last few years. Apparently, at one point, somebody stole his Action Comics number one, and then a while later, the person who had sold it to him saw it come up at auction and recognized the book from a couple of key marks on it, and was like, this is Nicolas Cage's book, and he ended up getting it back.
No shit, that's an awesome story. Talk about, like, just luck, just blind luck, you know?
Literally, like, it was
a perfect series. The comic book community does, look, the comic book community is riddled with thieves. Let's acetate gate that's going on currently, or somewhat currently, I guess you could say. That's a big one. That's basically killing all the influencers, like their careers, which I'm not against at all, or at least damaging it. You know, I feel like it's good to be humbled in that realm, because you don't think that you should be ahead of anybody else. I don't think that's fair, but whatever. So we have shit like that out and about in the world, but when it comes to the community, as far as like shops and things like that, if somebody steals from a shop or from a buyer or a seller that's tight with the community that sells to shops or other buyers and stuff,
good reputation in the community.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There will be like an underground swell of like sharing like information. So everybody will post about it on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, talk about it, share pictures, all the things like that. So then everybody's aware, and they will turn your ass in. So don't think that you can get away with that shit very easily, because you can't. You steal something from a shop and try to sell it to another shop, good fucking luck, you know?
Oh, no. It's like when people find out about that, it becomes worse than a sewing circle in a retirement home. Like, the gossip starts to spread, and then it turns into some kind of truth, and like, whoever ends up doing the thievery, eventually there's going to be a guy that goes, I know that dude. It's Edward in this place. And here's his address. Like, they always get found.
Yep. Always. So I guess CM Punk also did a Thor annual. He wrote Thor annual number one in 2015, which was interesting. I want to go back
because it's a lot of different characters that he's taken on.
Yeah. He wrote the Punisher, and so there's CM Punk. Another one that comes to mind is Rosario Dawson. She wrote a few. I think one of them was I think it was OCT, Occult Crimes Task Force. That came out like 05, 06.
And hers, if I'm not mistaken, was like original stuff, right?
Right, because she was planning to turn it into a TV series. It didn't materialize, but, you know, it's probably on the back burner, and it could always happen at any point in time. She so wishes. But her career is insane as it is. She does so much now. I don't know how she does it, but she does it.
Well, everything I've ever heard is like she's just such a treat to work with and be around. People just hire her because they just enjoy being around her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's the way to go.
Like Bill Hader and Seth Meyers, they did a comic book. They did I think it was a Spider-Man short Halloween, which was kind of a parody on the long Halloween in a way. Okay. But they wrote one together. And it's funny because Seth Meyers is a huge Ted Kord Blue Beetle fan. So I hit him up every once in a while on Twitter. And I'm like, hey, dude, watch my web series. Because I don't know if the audience knows that, you know, we have people that are listening, but I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's available on Rumblespoon Productions, rumblespoon.com, or you go to Rumblespoon Productions on YouTube and you can watch it there.
And it is good. It is very entertaining.
I tried. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Gerard Way, of course.
Season 2 coming in 8 years.
Yeah, kind of. We are actually working on a Christmas special, so we'll see if that materializes in time for this year or next. But working on it. Gerard Way is another one. Big one, though.
Of course.
His actually took off like a rocket once Netflix got involved, and that was Dark Horse's Umbrella Academy.
Which, surprisingly, I wasn't into. Like, I wasn't a fan of it, didn't really care, but the TV show got me into it because the show is just so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it also. I think it's
surprisingly
better. I think the third season just came out, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about maybe a month ago, like a month or two or so at most.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that, yeah. And it's super popular, super big still to this day. I don't know, you know, if we're going to get a season 4 or not, obviously, because, you know, season 3 dropped and you just kind of got to wait and see usually for that kind of stuff, unless you're pulling in, you know, Stranger Things numbers and then, which actually crashed the platform. So then you know that they're getting another season, of course. A few others just to mention, Ultimate Warrior wrote his own comic book. He's insane.
That I own. Oh my God. It is. He did a short lived series. Like it was a few issues. And then he did I think one or two one off. He did a Christmas special and holy crap. It is pure insanity. I read the first issue cause I bought it. I'm like, I have to own this. And it is just so self-absorbed and narcissistic. It's just like the Ultimate Warrior going, I'm bigger and tougher than smarter than everybody. I can kill Captain America. Look how great I am. And I loved every second of it.
That's pretty cool. Doesn't he beat the shit out of the Grinch or something in that?
In the Christmas special, I think so.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he beats the shit out of the Grinch and then maybe even he goes after Santa Claus or something at some point, which is like, Jesus. You know,
it's incredible. Like one of the issues is literally him standing on a mound of dead bodies, planting his flag, and it's all the Marvel heroes. Like you realize, oh, this is like all the Marvel superheroes all dead because Ultimate Warrior killed all of them, apparently.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's a maniac, and I love it.
Yeah, he's a bit crazy, but. You know, that brings us to another crazy kind of guy, somebody that actually would do a commercial for Jack in a Box, circling back around to Mark Hamill. And I think it was in the 90s, he did a series for Dark Horse called The Black Pearl, like 94, 95, somewhere around there.
Yes.
He wrote a script for it, actually, and it was going to be his directorial debut. It didn't work out, but he did end up putting it into a comic book form and got it out there. And it is easily obtainable, readily available. You can definitely find it like on eBay or even probably at your local comic book shop in the back issue bins. It's not a hot book by any means, but it's called The Black Pearl. And it's
you can definitely find it for cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. Very, very good for, for being written by, you know, by a celebrity that was Luke Skywalker. You know, you can't really go wrong.
Another one that I found surprising, I didn't realize until I actually bought the issue when it came out, was the new Werewolf by Night series. One of the writers was Taboo of the Black Eyed Peas.
That's insane.
Like, good for him. At least, you know, he's doing something now that Will.i.am and Fergie have gone off on their own worlds.
Yeah. Didn't Tyrese, what was it, Gibson? Tyrese Gibson? Model turned actor. He created a comic book too, yeah.
He may have. I don't recall because I could care less of Tyrese, but he may have. I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
I'm pretty sure he did because I remember in my head him doing it, and he was at Comic-Con. He didn't have a table, but there was an empty table, and he stood up on top of it, and he's like, all right, who wants some free comic books? And like he had like a PR person standing next to him with like a couple cases. And they just opened up the boxes and he was throwing them out to people while standing up on top of this like fold out table that could easily just collapse upon him. But hey, kudos to him.
Of course he was. Tyrese is another insane person. Why would he pay for a booth and set everything up normally? He can just storm in there, cause a scene, and then people will talk about it.
Right. So I got the idea from him then. And so I stood on the corner of other people's booths. And I was handing out trading cards for my web series for the Blue Beetle. I don't know if you guys know this, but I created a web series called The Blue Beetle, Ted Kord Returns. You can check it out on YouTube and on the website, rumblespoon.com. Anyway, back to that. So I thought, well, this is a great idea what this guy's doing. I'm going to try that. But then they asked me to leave. So it didn't
quite
work out.
Well, that's the difference. You realize very quickly when you try to do the same thing that, oh, yeah, I'm not Tyrese.
Right. Yeah, I don't have the celebrity status. But his comic was actually, I believe it was called Mayhem, if I recall. And it was right around the time that he was really pushing to be, what's his name? Jesus. The Green Lantern.
Okay.
What's his name? Shoot.
John Stewart?
Thank you. Yes, John Stewart. He was really pushing to be John Stewart in the Green Lantern world. So he was like, well, I can write comic books. Look at me. And now you should put me in it. And DC was like, hard pass on that, sir. So that
because,
happen.
Of course, that's the correlation that he made. Why wouldn't I'm not surprised that that's how Tyrese thought it works.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. A few other people that have done comic books, of course, probably the most famous or the second most famous would be Kevin Smith, more of a director than an actor himself. Patton Oswalt's another one. Rashida Jones has done comic books. John Cleese.
Brian Posehn has actually been like talked about for how well he's done with his run on Deadpool.
Yep. Yeah. He did the Deadpool run. And he traveled with Patton for a while too. So, you know, I mean, it kind of makes sense that the two of them would maybe share ideas or at least both of them would be like, hey, we should write a comic book. I think Patton wrote a Firefly comic book, if I recall.
But it's no shocker to anyone that two fat nerd comedians are well-versed in comic books.
Yeah, they would talk. Like, they would talk about when they were on tour and stuff. They would go around and they would, like, try to swing past local comic shops or every tour stop that they were at. And then they would, you know, pick up their weekly books or whatever and read them and geek out and talk about it. And that's kind of how it kind of blossomed into those ideas of, hey, we could write this shit too. So, you know, again, kudos to them for that. That's a great idea.
That's
and,
one thing
if you could
will
do it.
Say that I do miss about the old Meltdown comics now that it's not there anymore was the little case area that they would have with like a bunch of Patton Oswalt's personal toys and stuff that he just donated to put on display.
That's awesome. they have the Patton Oswalt collection.
Well, he had this like cool little collection of models that he had built for himself, which was the Star Wars characters, but in the setting of the Faster Pussycat Russ Meyer film.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to see it. I'm sad it's not there anymore.
And speaking of amazing and kind of crazy, before we cap this off, I just want to quickly, you had showed a picture recently, not too long ago, and it was you with Richard Simmons. Now, if Richard Simmons ever wrote a comic book, you best believe I'd be first in line to buy that thing. You know, I don't care if it's a sweat into the oldies thing. I don't care if it's him just being Richard Simmons. It doesn't matter. I would buy it. So
I already have the story. Said, he would be teaming up with Swamp Thing, and it would be called Swamp Into the Oldies.
You got Swamp Ass, Swamp Thing. Yeah, something like that. But seriously, you have to tell me this story because I feel like the world needs to know it. So go ahead and hit us with your story of Richard Simmons.
Well, it all started with the picture. When I put it on Facebook, it was a picture of me and him posing like we're a rich white couple getting a painting of us made to go over the fireplace. And he's sitting in like a tie-dye hand chair, and we're in front of a cabinet full of his like porcelain slave dolls. And people are like, how did this come to be? So essentially what happened was I was at a show and a friend of mine, another comic I knew, was working as a PA, a production assistant for a documentary crew. And they were shooting a documentary about New Orleans history. And of course, in order to get your stuff sold, a lot of times you have to have celebrities involved. So that was their like one of their angles was Richard Simmons is from New Orleans. We're going to interview him and put him in our documentary. So he's telling me this, and I was like, do you guys need an extra PA or something? I would love to go to Richard Simmons' house and see what this is all about. And sure enough, he's like, yeah, I'll get you on the crew. Meet me here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I'm like, I am there. So that's where it all started.
Okay. And so then you get there, and you see all these weird slave dolls, you said?
Well, I get there and I meet the director and like talk to some of the crew, help them bring in the equipment and stuff. And like we're setting everything up. And at the time, I had this miniature harmonica on a necklace that I used to wear all the time. I still have it. I just don't wear it as much anymore. But I was wearing it that day. And as we're setting up, I realize someone's behind me. So I turn around to like move out of the way or see if they need anything. And it's Richard Simmons. So he had come down to get ready for the interview, but he's standing directly behind me. And we're like 3 inches away from each other and make direct eye contact. And this is where everything starts. He looks at me and he puts his hand on my cheek and just starts singing for no reason. So as he's singing, I pick up the tiny harmonica on my necklace and I start playing it. And he immediately gets excited. He's like, oh, child, I got something for you. He gets his own harmonica out of a drawer nearby. And we start having a harmonica duet together.
You guys got a jam session going on. This is amazing. Yeah,
so this is where we're at. And it's like, as we're jamming, some of the other crew members take out their phones. Is like, what is happening? And they go to record it. And he's shy about that stuff. He's like, oh, no phones. So he stops. And I'm like, thanks for ruining it for me, guys. But it got even better. Like, as I put the harmonica down, he realized, like, he smelled my breath because I just had a cigarette outside. And he's like, oh, you're a smoker. Come with me, child. And he grabs my hand and walks me into his kitchen, opens one of his kitchen drawers, which is full of nothing but just unopened Tic Tac packages. Like, the entire drawer must have been, like, 200 of them in there. It was unreal. Wow. Can't see one of them. He's like, here, this is for you. And then he proceeds to read my aura while he makes me pop a couple of Tic Tacs because he doesn't like smoker's breath. So right. I'm like, that's fine. I'll take a couple of these. He's literally reading my aura in his kitchen. I'm like, what is happening right now? And he's telling me I have like green shades with a hint of purple. I'm like, I don't know what any of this fucking means.
Well, so, it's good it's not red or like a dark kind of a mauve or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You'd be in trouble. You'd be in a lot of trouble.
I took green as a positive because I'm like, I'm a weed smoker. I'll go with green. I got a green aura.
Yeah. It also means money. It can mean money as well. Wealth, growth. So green's definitely a positive color.
So once he's doing that, the director says we'll be ready in a little bit, and he's like, all right, fine, I'm here talking to my new friend. I'm like, I'm his new friend, hell yeah. So he sees me looking at a couple of things, and he was like, oh, here, let me show you around. Starts walking me around like the first floor of his house and telling me the history of all his porcelain dolls. Like, he had all these different like beautiful cabinets filled with expensive like antique porcelain dolls, and he would tell me where he got it, the history of it, why he got it, all this. I'm like, this is amazing. Why is he telling me all this? So as he's doing that, the director comes and gets him and is like, hey, we're ready to shoot. So he's like, all right, we'll finish up later. I'm like, okay. they go and they do the interview, and I'm standing off to the side. And then as they wrap up, he comes back over to me and he starts telling me about, like, you know how artists have those mannequins that they stand, which you can pose in different poses to draw off of?
Oh, yeah.
He has a life-size one of those, like, in the foyer of his home, covered in rhinestones from head to toe. And he's telling me all about it and how each rhinestone represents a different person he helped. And I remember someone asking me one time, was like, so is Richard Simmons gay or whatever? I'm like, if he isn't, I don't know what to tell you, because no straight man has that many porcelain dolls tastefully decorating their home. It was just well done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, maybe, yeah, no, I can't just, no, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Most likely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he is. Yeah. See, that's what everybody like, would go through in their brain.
Even if a straight guy had porcelain dolls, they'd just be scattered about. They wouldn't be tastefully decorated everywhere and look amazing.
That's true.
So, what happens after that is, the crew's wrapping up. So the director says, hey, can we all get a picture with you? And I just figured, hey, I'm not actually a part of any of this. I don't work with these guys. So I offered to take the photo for them. And mm-hmm. as I went to do that, Richard Simmons goes, oh, I see your little plan here. You just wanted to take their photo so you'd be by yourself. And that way me and you can get one together alone. I'm like, not really, but yes, absolutely. We're going to do that now. Like, we're 100% going to do that.
That's amazing.
So I take photo.
This photo that you're describing, you're going to have to send it to me, and then we'll post it on our Facebook and Instagram page. Yeah,
without question. Absolutely. Yeah. At the end of this interview, I will text you the picture so that you have it, because people don't believe me until they see the photo.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to have that proof. So once I take the picture for the camera crew, for the crew and everything, he pulls me aside and is like, all right, so how do you want to do this? I'm like, I get to even like set up the photo. Like, it was incredible. So I was like, let's use this chair over here. I want it to look like this. And he was so for it. He even did the perfect face and pose and everything. I'm like, this is probably the most amazing day I've ever had at Richard Simmons' house of all places. I'm like, nothing can top this. Like, this is going to be an insanely amazing story. So as we're wrapping up,
grandchildren.
So yeah, like, I'm helping the crew pack up everything and take it outside. And as I took something out to the van, I'm walking back inside to see if there's any equipment left. Richard Simmons was also leaving to go to like a TV interview, and he had a driver there. He comes out, and as he's walking past me, the driver opens the car door for him to get in. He stops, turns around, grabs me by the waist, pulls me in really close, and gently kisses me on the cheek. And then he says, the reason why I felt so connected and close to you was because me and you used to be married in a past life. We were a loving husband and wife during like the colonial era. I was your wife, and yeah, you were the husband. I'm like, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Like that
and
trance.
Apparently we had three beautiful children together, and he died during the childbirth of our fourth child. And now this is us reconnecting in our current lives. Mind you, as he's telling me this, he's crying sincerely. So I'm just trying to hold it together and keep a straight face. I'm just like, don't react at all. Like, it was unbelievable, the story he told me about our past life. And then he just kind of casually lets go of my waist, slides into the back of the car, puts his arm out and says, don't say anything. Don't question this. Just take it with you. And the driver closes the door and they leave.
And have
I was like, holy shit. No, well, that was the thing is after that happened, I left and I got in my car. I realized, oh my God, this entire time, I never told him what my name was. Not once did I ever say, hi, I'm Reza. So I figured he doesn't even know my name. Within 5 minutes of that, my phone starts blowing up. It's like, Richard Simmons is now following you on Twitter. Richard Simmons just sent you a message on Twitter. Richard Simmons wants to connect with you on this on Twitter. And then for like a year, we would just talk on Twitter all the time like we were buddies. It was unreal. Wow. And then that's when he went into his like reclusive state and just kind of cut off all contact with everyone.
That's a bummer, but that's a great story, dude. That's amazing. This is a story that's going to live in infamy, you know?
That I can honestly say, no matter what else happens to me in the future, will forever go down as one of the greatest days of my life of all time.
Most bizarre yet greatest days. Yes, I could see that.
And well, what's great is like my first, when I first walked in, my initial joke was it's almost 100 degrees and I'm at Richard Simmons' house. I'm going to literally be sweating to an oldie.
Well, I don't know how we top this, man. So I guess we just better finish this off. I mean, geez, thank you so much for being on.
Well, I guess the only thing I can say to add to that is that my only thought after I told this story to another friend of mine was that, what if he was just messing with me the whole time and Richard Simmons is like a Jersey kind of bro? And after he got in the car and they closed the door, he turns to the driver. He's like, ha, look at this jerk off over here. Thinks we used to be married and shit. What an asshole. Just laughing to himself.
No, I don't see that being a thing. Honestly, I think you're safe from that. Wow. That is bizarre and amazing. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Wow.
Thank you for giving me a place to share this wonderful story. I love sharing it with people.
A platform to share your Richard Simmons story. Yes. And as a stand up yourself, I would imagine that was a great material to pull from also for a few quick jokes or so.
Absolutely. About,
things that you've done in the past. So, yeah. So that's good too. But again, thank you. Thank you so much for being on. We're going to have to let everybody go now, but please check out Reza's comedy. Reza does a lot. It's is Long Beach? Is that where you're at a lot?
Actually, yeah. I have a monthly show that I run with a co-producer of mine, Steve Torres. It's once a month, always the last Saturday. And the one that's coming up this month on August 27th, actually another wonderful comedian by the name of Ron Swallow is going to be doing an album recording. So he's recording an hour for an album at the show this month. So I want as many people out as we can get out there. Let's make it packed. Have a great time. And you can tell your friends, hey, that's me laughing on track number 5.
Yeah, that sounds good. And also they can say, hey, I met the guy that met Richard Simmons and that insane story has now come full circle. So
you that can also too. Do that.
So please, yes, go see Reza, go see his friends, go enjoy yourself. And our podcast itself is available on YouTube. It's available on Spreaker, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on iHeartRadio. You name it, we're there. Check us out. We do a lot of short box shorties, which are like short little videos that we put up on YouTube under the Rumblespoon Productions banner, the page on YouTube. You can find us there. We have a lot of content, a lot of backlog of podcasts, catalog of them if you would like to listen, over 200. So feel free, enjoy yourself, and thank you for tuning in. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, Reza, I want to thank you again and let you know
always
that
always a pleasure.
Also, thank you. If I don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps I'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.